Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see all of you here today. And it's a beautiful day to be here at church, isn't it? And you look beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, especially you, Chris. Like you've been diving in Florida. Yeah, welcome back. We are glad to have everyone here today. I'll do some more official welcomes and announcements all in just a moment on this beautiful Sunday. But you have picked a good Sunday to be here because we do have food. There we go. And we got a big choir today. Go ahead, come on up, choir, and I will I'll introduce those who may not be known to all of you. And we are going to, let's see, we got Isaiah. He's our minister of music. Let's see, Debbie is with us from Sholo, Arizona. Debbie, glad you're here. Let's see, we got Rhonda and Lane here. They happen to be members of our church, by the way. The Welches. Mike's online. I saw that. So you'll be at your best behavior. Mike's the husband of Rhonda and the dad of Lane. And Lane is the brother of Luca. And we're glad he's back. He's been gone for a month here. And we got Rich back here with us. And we got Tennessee here. There we go. It's a nice looking choir, don't you think? Yeah. Let's we're gonna switch the order and sing He Lives first. It's what page we got? Hymn number 269, He Lives. Let's sing it together, and we got to get all organized here, be ready to go. Stand together. We sing 269, and let's do all three verses. Let's just stand and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected, ascended into heaven, offering a gift of salvation to anyone, anywhere, anytime, not by works, but by grace through faith. We rejoice in this and come today full of life and anticipation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Choir as well. Thank you all for being here today. Glad you are with us. We've had a wonderful weekend here together studying angels and demons. I've got the sermon this morning is in the The sermon notes are in the bulletin, but we do have a little conference booklet that we've been using this weekend. And there are some back there on this table right over here, and they are absolutely free. How's that? Speaking of free, I got several free things. I'm not charging for the sermon. No charge for the music either. Pick that up. They're on the table right here at the entrance. And there's a table over here underneath the map, full of good free resources. We put out a lot of free stuff. And, there's some good stuff on doctrine over there, on, music, on how to interpret the Bible, anything over there, it's free. It's printed black and white, cheap, you know, you can take that and, take what you want back there. On this side over here, we do have some for sale stuff, put up a little bookstore. We don't normally have the bookstore in here, but we set it up out there. If you, want some books, they happen to be 20% off. Today only, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special over on aisle three. There's some books back there, and you can check those out. Those are all written by yours truly, and you can pick it and cheers and jeers and whatever you want. I don't care what you say about it. Just pay the price. There we go. Really glad to have everyone here with us. Let me start later in the week and work our way back. This week, I'm giving you Wednesday night off. I don't give you Wednesday night off too often, but you do have Wednesday night off this week because I have Wednesday night off this week. How's that? We've had a conference all weekend. If you missed some of that and you want to, you're like really bummed out that you don't get to come to church on Wednesday night, you can spend that time going to the Unveiling the Unseen conference and watch that on your own Wednesday night or anytime you want. It's available online, and check that out. And then we'll be back next Sunday for our regular schedule going on there. Now, let's see. We've got... I tell you what, let's just start out with some birthdays, because we got some good birthdays. Mary Ellen Warren, today is her birthday. Mary Ellen's not able to be with us, but she's always online. So happy birthday, Mary Ellen. She is now, I don't know, we were debating Mary Ellen. We think 97, our oldest member, and 98. We got some 98s going on. Mary Ellen, you want to go for 99? What do you think? Yeah. 98. She's been 97, and happy 98th birthday to Mary Ellen. We miss you here, but certainly appreciate having you online. Also, today is Winnie Mae Concha's birthday, and yesterday was Everett's birthday. And so why don't we just sing in perfect harmony to Mary Ellen and Winnie Mae and Everett. Happy birthday. Here we go. Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to each of you.
Happy birthday. God bless each one of you. Indeed. Okay. Appreciate that. Now, we have guests worshiping with us today. We're always glad that we have guests, and we have... I'm not on. Yeah, I turned off for the sake of the people online for the singing. There we go. We're glad to have guests worshiping. You may or may not know you are in America's Greatest Tiny Church. Mary, did you tell your neighbor, Gar, that this was America's Greatest Tiny Church? You forgot to tell him that part. Okay. Welcome, Gar, to America's Greatest Tiny Church and the others. We'll see here in just a moment. But to commemorate the occasion, we've got a stone coaster. Start to say plaque. It's a coaster. You can use it for a plaque if you want, but it's a coaster. And it says America's Greatest Tiny Church, has a picture of it. We have a good crowd here today. I think it was Jeff said the other day, you keep it up, we're going to have to call it America's Greatest Medium-Sized Church. But that doesn't have quite the ring to it. So we'll go with tiny. We like it in our small, loving little fellowship right here. Glad you're here. We want to give you one of these. And since we're a small group anyway, and we know who everybody is, we can tell who's who's not a Towsonio or who's not part of our church. So we would love to have you introduce yourselves. Like Rhonda and Lane over here. Stan, tell us who you are, where you came from, why you're here.
This is Rhonda. This is Lucas' mother. He's the intern. Feel free to slap him if you want to.
Amen.
I'm Lane, Lucas' brother. He's once again the intern. Feel free to slap him.
I like that introduction. I'm going to give both of you a coaster for that. Yeah, not just a family version, but both of you a coaster. Rich and Jody, we're glad you're here, but you're here all the time, so I'm not going to go with introductions here. Let's see. They're members of our church, and they were here about a month ago or so and introduced themselves, and Everett's been here before. But go ahead, Everett and Debbie, stand and tell us who you are, and happy birthday, by the way. Glad you did. Glad you did. Thank you. And happy birthday to you. And right on the same row, Mike, good to see you.
Good to be here. This is my second time here at America's Greatest Church.
Mike from Phoenix, welcome back. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming up for the conference. Appreciate that. Mary, you're not a guest, but you've been gone a while, and we've been praying for you, and I want you to stand up and give a health report, and then we'll make Gar introduce himself.
I'm Mary, and I live here part-time. I used to be here more than I did, but now I'm tied to a medical center. And I'm doing good. Every day is a good day, and I'm going to beat this.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Mary. We are praying for you. And Gar, go ahead. Amen. Amen. They might all be in this room. I'm not sure, but but we're glad you're here. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bill, we're glad you're back. He's introduced himself about three times, so I won't make him do it again. But from Austin, Texas, thanks for being here. Ed and Nancy, we're glad you're back here, too. You're here enough times, I won't make you introduce yourself. Pueblo, West Colorado, they're part of our online extended family also. Thanks for being here. And they came help bind all those books that you guys got free. There we go. Thank you. And my neighbors over here, stand and introduce yourselves as well. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'll have to pay Linda and Leslie. Let's see. I think the free book. Yeah, yeah. We're glad to have Kelly and Janet and Linda back with us. But you all have introduced yourself a number of times. Luca, why don't you introduce yourself? It's been like a month. No, we forgot who you were. You get a coaster then, okay. He's the intern, so you can slap him.
I will fight back.
Did I miss anybody? I hope not. Let's see, I have a point somewhere over here. Who are we missing? Oh, that's Shreda. She's here. We have people who aren't here all the time that weren't here when Shreda stood up here, and she's America's newest citizen. We're excited about that. Yeah, appreciate Sreda and Dustin here with us. Now, let me also say, we have lunch today. I'll get done with announcements here in just a moment, but we have lunch today in the Fellowship Hall, and we were expecting a big crowd, and we were also expecting rain. Normally, on a big crowd day, we spill over to the terrace. But we were afraid that it was going to rain today. So we squeezed them all in. It's a little crowded in there. But we'll have a lot of food and lunch and elbow room. No elbow room, just we got straws. It'll be fine in there, and we'll have a good time. And if you didn't plan on staying, change your plans. Just stay. It's the best lunch in Taos County. You'll want to be here and enjoy what takes place there. I'm going to give to the intern Luca some coasters to pass around, and we are going to stand and say hi to one another, but we're not going to say it very long. I don't want you wandering all over the congregation, okay? You can only say hi to the people right around you, because I got a sermon to preach here in just a moment, and I know how you all are. Okay, stand and say hi to someone close.
Sing hymn number 666.
Is that kind of freaky that I'm talking about demons and we're doing 666 today? I don't know about that. It's different.
I can't believe they let that.
Yeah. now turn to hymn number 104. Verses 1, 2, and 5.
Seated, ladies and gentlemen. Our missionary of the month this month is a special one because it is one of our own who now lives in Georgia. Happens to be one of my own, too, that now lives in Georgia. Nathan does the tech mission field. Nathan, come tell us one more time, just a little bit, since you're here, about the tech mission field and what that is. Yeah, we'll do the offering next.
Well, I just wanted to start by saying thank you for everyone who's donated this month here. It's been a huge blessing that to help me keep going in my work here at the tech mission field. I mentioned that I started this year. I quit my day job and decided I'd do something better with my time, and that's helped churches make websites, build a set of cameras and go live. Really anything technology that a church could need, I will help them out free of charge, just on donation. And I know I've been doing the broadcasting here for a long time now, and it's enabled Everett and Sholo and Nancy in Colorado to be able to be a part of the congregation as members of the church, even though they don't live here. And I think a lot of churches can benefit from the work that we do here. And the fact that broadcasting their message can really help reach a lot of people who don't normally attend church or can't be a part of the service in person. It really makes a big difference. If you would like to donate, you can go to thetechmissionfield.com. There's a donate button. You can give a one-time donation or a recurring donation. It would really help me out. That's what I've been doing for a year, and so far, donations have provided the means that I've been able to do so. So thank you.
And so today, if you give Mark to missions, it goes to the tech mission field. If you give right here in Market Missions, if you don't give it, of course, it goes to the work of our church right here that's been working 90 years at being a lighthouse right here in this community. And so come on up, ushers. We got our ushers here today, and we got plates, and did y'all bring your muscle today? Because if there's anybody out here who doesn't give generously, I want you to strong arm them, okay?
Don't say that.
Don't say that, Grandma says, okay? Let me lead us in a word of prayer. These boys will pass the offering plate here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, thanks for these young men who help us, and thanks for your blessing and watch care over us. Thanks for allowing us to broadcast online around the world, and the blessing that has been to our little church and that can be to so many others through Nathan's work. And just pray that as we come into the preaching in just a moment as well, that encourages and honors the work that you're doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, guys. Hey, we have been again talking about angels and demons, and I want to repeat everything I've said Friday night for 3 hours and Saturday morning for 3 hours and this morning earlier for an hour. Maybe not. But we have learned some fascinating things about angels and about demons, and I want to conclude this with something that will stand alone for those of you who have not been part of it, and maybe entice you. You can go back and learn all the details of the matters as we go. Friday night was a session on angels specifically, and angels, whether or not they are created in the image of God. My take was, yes, they are created in the image of God. Angels, as different from cherubim and seraphim. Cherubim are cherubim, seraphim are seraphim, and angels are angels. And I get that because I'm a biblical literalist, and the Bible never calls a cherubim an angel. It calls a cherubim a cherubim. And they look different. They act different. They talk the same. Starts they talk different, but they talk the same. So we learned a little thing, and then we learned on Satan and the origin of Satan, and some of that related material on Saturday. Today, I want us to come and just look at some myths of angels and demons this morning. We'll have, obviously, quite a few scriptures that we will look at, and we'll look at these briefly, so I'm going to put them up right here. And let's start out with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Let's talk about 10 myths of angels. Some of them we'll spend more time on than others, but I suppose one of the most prevalent myths is that every person has a guardian angel. I am going to go ahead and call that a myth. I know that may myth you to say, what do you mean I do not have a guardian angel? There certainly is guardian angel theology out there. There's a lot of people who believe that all of us have a particular guardian angel that is watching after us. It is based upon some scriptures, like let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Who's in charge of my scripture today? Is that Nathan or Luca? There we go. I got you to the right spot. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And this is a passage about the angels. It says, are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. I want to check your reading skills. You did very well there. Heirs of salvation. Now, you could easily take and say, oh, that's me. I am an heir of salvation, and the angels are sent as ministering spirits for me. But you remember that I am a biblical literalist, and I say, wait a minute, inheriting salvation, that's what heir means, right? An heir of salvation. How in the world did I inherit salvation? I actually didn't inherit salvation. It was given to me as a gift. As a matter of fact, that word heir there has to do with the law. If you were to look into the Greek, part of the root word is nomos. Nomos is the word from which we get law. Like the Torah law, any law that you would have, it would be nomos. And so what it says is, legally, these are the people who get salvation. Well, legally, you and I don't get salvation, right? It was given to us as a gift. It said, hey, if you want it, you can have it. I'm offering. But the law is not there to adjudicate the case or probate the case here in this case and say, okay, the law says that you get salvation. This is talking about a different kind of salvation. And it is specifically talking about the nation of Israel, which gets her kingdom in the future to be saved from all her enemies. And so here, specifically, it's not saying that I have a ministering spirit because I'm saved. I happen to be saved. But that scripture doesn't tell me. I suppose if you really want to be persnickety about that, and I do have a thing right here that says, be ye persnickety. There you go. I suppose that if you really want to be persnickety, then what we would say is, all of the passages that appear, let's go ahead and do the Psalm 91:11. Psalm 91:11. If you want to take these passages and say, look, it says right there that we have one. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, again, I would say, well, let's look in Psalm 91 and see who it's talking about. And lo and behold, it's not talking about Randy. And therefore, I can't take it to be about Randy. I have to be careful about that, or I'll be taking not only blessings that aren't mine. And in that sense, you know, some of us like to have other people's blessings, but I might also take some obligations and some curses that aren't mine too and put myself under a great big bondage if I'm just taking anybody's mail and taking it to myself. Not only do I get the birthday cards, Everett's birthday cards, but I also get Debbie's bills when you do that. So got to be careful not to take passages that aren't about us. Now, back to being persnickety, maybe we have a guardian angel. I'll just say there's no place in the Bible that tells us we have a guardian angel. And I'm kind of a little leery to go just by tradition. Tradition says we have a guardian angel. The Bible never really says that. Myth number two, angels are higher beings than humans. Sometimes, well, I don't want to get ahead. Sometimes we think we even become those higher beings, but angels being higher beings than humans. Actually not. We studied the other night about angels being created in the image of God, like we're created in the image of God. And one thing we saw about angels is that angels walk like human, talk like human, look like human, touch like human. Everything about them seems human. They're not human. They are angels. They have a different realm, a different responsibility than we're given. But actually, those of us who have been given dominion of the earth, created in the image of God and being given dominion of the earth and being offered salvation as the gift that we're offering, we are actually above the angels. For that, let me show you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, which says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more then the things that pertain to this life? Now, again, there is a context to that, but whether that we is me and you going to judge angels, we could argue about that another time. But the we there is certainly humans, okay? Humans are going to judge angels. That would put humans in the priority position rather than angels in the priority position. Angels are servants. Angels are servants of God. Angels do God's bidding. I think angels are created in the image of God. But humans are higher in ranking than angels. Let's go to myth number three. Angels are spirits of deceased humans. Now, this one again, it's a common myth. We've seen it all the time. He joined the angels. He became an angel. He got his wings, Clarence. Whatever the case, the issue, the imagination may be, that again is a concept. I don't know exactly where this concept came from. It's taught often in a lot of Christian theology, but it's not taught in the Bible. I suspect it came from blending of several religions together where you sort of make progress along the way and you come to a higher state of being. And not only does a lot of Christianity expect that angels are a higher state of being than humanity, but that we will get to that higher state of being. I think a lot of things mixed up there. But if we look at, let's go to Psalm 148, beginning in verse 2, and what we see from this passage is that angels are not former humans that have advanced, but rather, the scripture says, praise ye him, all his angels, praise all his hosts, praise ye him, sun, moon, stars of light. Before I even get to down to the verse, let's look at that. Praise ye him, sun and moon. You know what the sun is? It's a former moon that has gained its wings. No. The sun is what? This thing that God created, ball of fire. Okay, we'll call it that. The moon is what? Blue cheese? What'd you say?
Nightlight.
It's nightlight. So these are two different things. God created them. They each have their glory, the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, you know, and yet they're separate things. And so I wanted to bring that up in the context, and all ye stars of light, praise him, ye heaven of heavens, waters that be above the heavens. And then verse 5 is where I want to get. It started out with angels. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Okay, what are angels? They're not things that morph out of dead humans. Angels are things that were created. As a matter of fact, we know from the book of Job and other places in the book of Psalms that angels were created before the foundations of the earth were laid. Before you and I began to exist, angels were already created, but they were not created from deceased human beings. So, sorry, the bummer is, Arsenio, you are never going to become an angel.
You got out.
His grandparents knew that. Let's go to number 4. Angels, this is the myth. Angels are immaterial, ghost-like beings. Spirits, perhaps we should say. Every time we see angels, and I would say this is true of the cherubim and the seraphim as well, but when we see angels, they are physical beings. They take up time and space, if you will. They have eyes, they have a mouth, they speak, they blow trumpets, they hold bowls and pour bowls out, and all the things that we see angels doing. They come and they're messengers. They might have some capabilities beyond what we have, like, let's say, the ability to appear and disappear. Someday, by the way, I think we're going to figure that out in physics. We're not there yet, but maybe our aerospace guy from Austin could help us figure out how to do a little teleporting? Teleporting. So far we haven't figured that out. But I suspect that it was on Star Wars, and so I know it can happen. Star Trek, I mean. Beam me up, Scotty. There we go. If it's on Star Trek, it can happen in real life. I know that because I used to be amazed that they would walk up and the doors would open. And now that happens. And they used to have phones you would pull out of your pocket. And now it happens. See there? Someday even the Jetsons will come true. Someday I'll get back to my sermon. We won't look at the passages there, but you can study this on your own, and we have looked at a few through the weekend, a few. Is this an exception? Is that an exception? And we've basically said no, but angels show up as physical beings. Again, maybe a little greater capability that we have. Maybe they don't reflect light the same way we do, and so sometimes they cannot be seen, but they are physical beings nonetheless. They are material beings. And the only time we have seen demons, by the way, that have left their physical nature and they have gone in a ghostly, spiritual way, but that's always a negative. We never see good angels, if you will, that come in the immaterial. The only time we see that is of the bad angels, the demons, which we'll get to in just a moment, which tells us, I think, that God honors that which is physical. God honors the physical world, and we ought to honor the physical world as well as the spiritual world. Sometimes when we get into church, we sort of have this idea that everything is supposed to become sort of a spiritual, ethereal, kumbaya kind of experience and not have anything to do with the fact that, you know, you're sitting there thinking, I just got a headache. And there is a physical, material world we live in, and I think we should recognize that and honor that as something that God has created and is a blessing. Myth number five, angels are always gentle, glowing figures with wings. I think we could even go with the gentle part of it. Angels are always gentle. Remember the show Touched by an Angel? You get a whole new light of Touched by an Angel when you get to, I didn't put the passage in here in the book of Acts, when you get to the angel coming down to the prison where Peter was, and it said he struck him on the face. It's not so gentle, is it? Angels often come in a very powerful look. Now, not so powerful that you're thinking, is this the Incredible Hulk I'm dealing with here, or what's up here? But they're humans with they're not humans, they're angels in human form, and they have a very powerful appearance often. Even in, you know, so many times in the New Testament, when they do show up, do not be afraid is the word that is given there. That tells us there is a strength about their presence that we ought to recognize rather than, I think, probably if we were to ask, I don't know, you know, AI does bad art. Let's think about AI. Normally I give pictures here today. I don't have any pictures. But if we were just to tell AI with no further prompt to it, please give me a picture of an angel. My guess is it's going to be this girlish-looking weak thing with wings and tender-faced and all that kind of stuff, and be like, you know, maybe kind of comforting or something. But I think probably much more muscular warrior-like is what we're going to see in angels rather than the gentle glowing figure with wings. Number six, angels can be prayed to or invoked for help. Let's go to Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 18. I'll get it out of Colossians. And what we see here is that angels are not to be prayed for. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has seen, vainly puffed up and of the fleshy mind. Now, just the words that I want to pick out there are the worshiping of angels. We won't look it up, but in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, John, the apostle who's getting the revelation of the end times, he's visiting with an angel, and at one time he's so impressed with what the angel shows him and tells him that he bows down to worship him, and the angel kicks him in the shin and said, "Don't do that." That's the Randy White version. But it goes something like that. Angels never appear to be something that is prayed for, that is worshiped, that is sought for guidance, invoked for help. And yet, in our common mythology about angels, you know, call upon your angel, your spirit guide, the one who's going to be with you and give you the insight that you need at the moment. This is stuff that is reserved for God to give us in our relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, angels guide us with private messages or inner voices. This is often as angels are seen sort of as a spirit guide. And, a little angel told me that. We get this idea, whether the angel, again, you know, in whatever form the angel shows up, that the angel, my angel told me, my angel gave me some insight, my angel helped me to see in the common, I'll say, New Age-leaning kind of world, not that there's any of that in Taos or anything. But in the common New Age-leaning world, there's this idea of angels fluttering about giving us insight and guidance. Now, my guess is when you get that kind of stuff, because I know someone's probably saying, well, you know, I know one time that I met a lady and I just sensed my angel told me, you know, that she's struggling right now. She probably needs $2. And I just pulled $2 out and I gave it to her. And she said, oh, how did you know? It wasn't your angel, okay? The reason you know is because you've lived a long time on this earth. That's why. And you're a nice person. You're a sensitive person. I think we can read a lot about people. I haven't got into the studies, but I think you could go into studies on that really kind of scientific-based studies on how much somebody knows about a person just from a little bit of interaction. And they do these studies to give this test, this quiz, and we come up amazingly good. Honestly, I mean, even people who are oblivious to everything come up amazingly good at how well we read people. And I think it's because we all put our pants on the same way, right? Because we live in the same world, we live in somewhat the same experience, we do begin to be able to read one another. Now, be careful with that, because sometimes we read things that aren't there either. Sometimes we misread people, and we need to be careful, but angels are not given to be our private guide. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I looked at it earlier, even today, in the Bible study time, and it tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for a number of things that are given there, which eventually we will know. When we get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, like I was saying, it happens magically. So we got all these good things. Verse 17 is really what I want you to see here, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Now, if Scripture, the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible, if Scripture really is what it claims to be, then we really don't need another revelation or another message or another testimony. We can go into the Word of God, and it's going to give us enough that we're going to be able to figure it out from there. Now, it's not going to tell you what car to buy as you go through there, but it's going to give you enough wisdom in life that you're going to be able to go out and, you know, make a good decision when you buy a car, all those kind of things. And I might say that sometimes you might buy a lemon also, but that's because that's the way cars work. You know, this is a part of the world that we live in, so we don't need a private message. Myth number eight, angels act independent from God's authority. Psalm 103, verse 20, the truth is that angels only work at God's bidding. They are His servants. They do what He wants them to do. This separates it some from the spirit guide who is controlled by us. I was watching yesterday some YouTube videos on angels, and I was surprised how many of those, giving teaching about angels, how many of those we're basically saying you and I are in charge of the angels. And what we need to do is tap into all the angels all around, and we'll have this heavenly force that's doing our bidding for us, regardless of what God wants. Well, unfortunately, the Bible tells us that that is not true. It would be awfully nice, wouldn't it, if I could just summon angels and they would put up Psalm 103, verse 20. Oh, my, looky there. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength. There's one that was back earlier. They excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. This is what angels do, not acting independent from God's authority or me. Now, I do want to say, when we get to demons, we are going to get to some who have acted independently of God's authority, right? And they fell. They lost their status as angels, and they became demons. The scripture even uses a different word for them there. Myth number 10, angels minister today in the body of Christ as they did in Israel, or maybe I should just say in the Bible, as they did in the Bible. The myth that what angels have always done is what angels do today. I happen to think, and we spent a session on this, but I happen to think that angels today are not working like they have in the past. There's an hour session that you can go into that I tried to build that argument, but I want to put it out there for something that you can say, okay, I want to go back and I want to study that. You can read about it in that free book there, too, on whether or not angels are doing today all the things that they have done in the past. I'm going to argue, no, they're not, but because we do have potluck lunch coming, I will not argue it right now. Amen? I don't know why y'all were so hearty with that amen. Let's go into 10 myths about demons. How about that? Demons, fallen angels, if you will, angels that chose with Lucifer, the one we call Lucifer from Isaiah chapter 14, Satan, the dragon, the devil, any number of names that you want to give to him that are all biblical names. He decided in his pride, I want to be God. I'm good, but I'd rather be top notch. And so he, I would say, was and still is trying to take that God position. And a third of the angels, from what we understand, if we're reading that passage in Revelation correctly, a third of the angels decided, hey, we think he's got a chance. We're going to go with him. We're going to see what's up here on this and see who wins it. And from there, we have demons. Myth number one is that demons are souls of wicked people who died. Well, that's obviously the opposite of we become angels. There are some who's like, nope, we become demons. Certainly, Arsenio, you are never going to be a demon, nor an angel. You're just Arsenio. How's that? Demons are not human spirits. They're not disembodied human spirits. They happen to be completely created on their own. Myth number two, demons are equal in power to angels. Let's go ahead and look at Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. I think that we can build a case that, and in fact, it's not really that hard of a case to build, but build a case that angels are stronger than demons, and build a case that the angelic is always going to win in a spiritual battle or spiritual conflict. Here we see into the future there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Now that's apocalyptic literature for Satan. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Now, that's talking about a future battle that is going to take place, a future cosmic heavenly battle that's going to take place. But I think with that, you can we could go back and build a very strong case to say you put an angel up against a demon, and the angel always wins. Ultimately, the angel is going to come out the winner on this, and so it's not. even as we think of spiritual warfare, it's not such a struggle that we have to worry, hey, are the demons going to win rather than the angels going to win? Put them up in the same ring and I'll tell you who to put your money down on. Myth number three, demons can read our thoughts. You know, it probably goes something like this. You're thinking of, what is something absolutely horrible you could think of? You're thinking of sleeping in late. Absolutely horrible. Thinking of sleeping in late. And then you wake up and you have a phone call, and it's raining outside. You got a number of things, and you're saying, the demons must have known. They put all these kind of things in to keep me or entice me or whatever it might be. Truth is that only God knows the hearts and the minds of men. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39 has a little bit of insight into this. But let me just say, your thoughts might be demonic just all by themselves. you know, we have the ability to go there in our mind, and we have the ability to think well in our mind. We're in charge of our mind. If anyone's reading our mind, it is God. Then heaven, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. Speaking of the Lord, God and God only knows the hearts of men. You know, sometimes even in the book of Acts, there's a demon that tells the future, and people actually go to pay money to this demon to get their fortune told, you know, it's right, they're coming out right. Now, I don't think even that demon in the book of Acts knows the future. How in the world do you get it right? The one thing the demons might have against us if they were active today, certainly in that day, but I'll talk as if it's present. The one thing that the demons might have is that there are a lot of demons out there and they can talk about what other people are doing. And I suspect that if you know what everybody else is doing, you can pinpoint the future with pretty good accuracy. If I knew what Donald Trump was thinking and Mr. Putin was thinking and, you know, Netanyahu was thinking and Betty was thinking, put all that together, I could pretty much map out what's going on in the future if I just knew what everyone's thoughts were. So it's just the ability that they've got. They've got their minions out here and there, and so they know a lot of things put and collect together, and then you can begin to put it together. Myth number four is that demons always manifest themselves in possession. When you see a demon, it's going to possess someone. Well, the truth is that as we see the demons in the scripture, sometimes they are possessing, but many times they are just deceiving. There's the doctrine of demons. There's false information out there. There's the influence that they give that is demonic out there. So there's a lot more that demons were doing in the scripture than just possessing people. As a matter of fact, I think probably we would say ultimately their work in religion, their work in politics, their work in hearts, their work in society, their work in the brain in terms of thinking and education, perhaps we could even say, that work has been far more influential and detrimental to the world and to society than the times when demons possess someone, which is just interesting stories, right, as far as most of us, as it affects most of our lives. Number five, demons are responsible for every sickness, sin, or struggle. I know why I'm tempted here, because the demons are here and the devil made me do it. I know why I got sick, because the devil knew that I was going to go to church this morning and he didn't want me to go to church this morning, and so he gave me a cold. I met a guy years ago. I remember this. I was in college, but I met him, and his name was Jimmy. I said, "Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?" And he said, "I am struggling with a cold. I must have sinned." And even then, as a youngster, I said, or touched the wrong door handle. And then wiped your nose, you know. I don't know if you sinned or not. You might have just, you know, it's a germ sort of do this to a person. It might not be the demons. But there is a realm of our society that wants to put every negative thing that ever happens as demonic. Now, this is not only true with our, the germs that we might get, but we so easily put this into the things that are going on in the world. You turn on the television. Charlie Kirk was killed a few weeks ago, as we all know. And you turn on, you see it, you hear it, you know about it. And kind of immediately you might want to say, oh, it's demonic, it's spiritual warfare. Now, I'm the preacher that's supposed to say, oh, it's demonic, it's spiritual warfare. And I'm going to say, no, it is a kid that got his mind messed up because of the education system that has their mind messed up. And he bought some ideas in society that he should not have bought. He did buy them. Once a kid buys those, how do you buy them back from that kid? How do you get it out of that kid's mind? And then they go and they act on it. Now, is there doctrines of demons there? Maybe you could say so, the demonic influence overall. But is Satan behind all of that? Or, you got a hurricane coming in, or it didn't rain. It rained too much, or it didn't rain, whatever. You got something drastic that takes place in the news. We always immediately want to say, oh, there's something satanic here. There's something demonic. I know the demons are working here. I'm just going to say the weather is unpredictable and people are stupid. How's that? And most of what happens in the world today is because the weather is unpredictable and people are stupid. Not so much it is a demonic thing. So demons being responsible for every sickness, sin, struggle, probably I'm responsible for most of my sin, sickness, and struggle. Number six, demons are active today in the same way they were in Christ's ministry. It almost matches myth number 10 on the angelic side. The common understanding is that demons today are doing everything that demons did. One of the things to help prove this, again, I've got an argument in session number 4, I think it is, if you go online and find this series. But one of the things that I would say about that is the way demons were acting in Christ's ministry is even different than the way they were acting in the rest of the Bible. You go through the Old Testament and you don't see demon possession and exorcism and some of the things that take place. You get just a little beyond Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get barely into the book of Acts. And after the book of Acts, you don't see any of this activity that takes place. And so it looks to me like you would say, hey, that was a time of unbelievable spiritual warfare that was taking place in the world, the time of Christ and his apostles. But we have some of the seeds of that in our world today. You plant a bad thought and it can go a long way for a long time, right? In the way things work and go and have their being. But I think that they don't work today in the same way, which I mentioned last night. I got to quit. It was yesterday morning. I think I mentioned yesterday morning. That myth right there, number six, putting that away in your mind helps you not to be scared of the dark. If you're convinced that the demons are working all around you and you go for a walk at night, every little bump and hoot owl and everything else is going to, black cat and all this kind of stuff is going to spook you. I think, again, all I can do right now is tell you, here's a belief system to try to work in your mind. Build this over time. It'll take you some time because it got a lot of garbage built up in there. I think for most of us, it certainly was for me. Try to build this argument that says, well, wait a minute. Maybe today demons are not working in the same way they were then. Which then I think also means sometimes you see videos, or sometimes, unfortunately, certainly in New Mexico, we see it in our own If you go to Albuquerque, you'll see someone that you might say, I think that person is demon-possessed. I mean, goodness, look at that. It's drugs, okay? And I know how to treat drugs differently. They don't need an exorcism. They need drug rehab. And unfortunately, because of what we've done in society, probably care for the rest of their lives as well. But an exorcism is not going to fix this issue here. Politics will fix it in the long run, but that's a sermon for another day. So let's go on to myth number 8. Satan and demons dwell in hell today. Sometimes we think of Satan as the CEO of hell, and he is down there, and his demons, and they are running everything with everything that's gone to hell, and they got their plans and all that kind of stuff, and all those myths and ideas that we have. I'm not going to look at the scriptures here, but let me say that they are not in hell. Rather, there are some who are, some of the demons are in prison. We know that from one of those, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and Jude chapter 1, verse 6. Some of them are in prison. God put them in prison. He said, I'm not going to let you do anything. But not all of them are in prison, because we've seen after he put some in prison, there were others about doing their work. Some of them, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, some of them are being restrained. They are being held back right now. But all of them are destined for the lake of fire, which we would call hell, the lake of fire. So they're not in hell yet. When they get to hell, and they will, when they get to hell, it's not to be in charge. It is their place of punishment. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that the lake of fire was created for the demons and for Satan. This is their destiny, their place that they are going to go. They're just not there yet today. There's a number of places there. I said prison. You could call prison the abyss or the bottomless pit. As it's referred to in the book of Revelation, the bottomless pit. Someday they're going to be let out of there and, you know, run loose for a little bit into the future. There's some things, but they're not in hell today. They're either imprisoned or being restrained. Myth number 9, demons fear holy objects like crosses, holy water, or relics. Any of you got a relic today? Just in case. Surely we got a cross in the room, okay? There we go. I think it's nice to wear a cross, some of the adornment like we have up in here, it has a testimony it gives us, but it's not going to send the demons running. The holy water, you know, you splash it on them. I saw this in a movie once. Demons aren't really afraid of that. Let's do look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It is the finished work of Christ that they know that's their kryptonite, if you will. That's what's going to get them. And it's completely mythology, Christian mythology perhaps, but completely mythology that a cross is going to stop a demon from coming to you. And it's the same kind of mythology as garlic is going to keep the vampires away, okay? And we like these tokens. We like these things that, you know, make us feel better. It's a rabbit's foot or whatever it is keeps the bad away and brings the good in. But it says of Jesus Christ that he in the work on the cross, having spoiled principalities and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is in his work on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what they're afraid of, is that, wait a minute, we thought we could bring Christ down, and he's up now. What in the world are we going to do? There is their fear. Myth number 10 is that demons operate outside of God's sovereign permission. Now, on this one, let me give one little piece. We know that Satan rebelled against God. We know that the demons who went with him, they rebelled against God. But We also know, looking at Scripture, that all the way through, even when the leash was long, they were still on a leash. Everywhere you look in the Scripture, there was only certain things. Remember the guy that was possessed by a demon up in a place called Gadara? He's called the Gadarene demoniac. And he was running around. Nobody could take care of him. He would run around naked, chained. They'd try to chain him. He'd break the chains. He'd break loose. Everybody was afraid of him. The Lord came, confronted him, cast out the demons who were legion, and those demons prayed, please don't send us to the bottom of the sea. Let us go into the pigs. Let us go into the pigs. Now, I can't tell you all the why things, like why not send them to the bottom of the sea instead of to the pigs, but they were sent to the pigs, and then the pigs went to the bottom of the sea. That was, by the way, the invention of deviled ham. I can't believe as many times as I have said that you still think that's funny.
Undersea deviled ham.
Undersea, yeah. Does anybody eat deviled ham anymore?
No.
I hope nobody brought it for potluck. I used to eat it when I was a kid, but I got some not too many years ago. That stuff's just nasty. Anyway, the devil's ham. Isaiah, I'll buy you a can sometime. And I will not share it with you. I'll just give it to you. Even then, you see the demons begging to a sovereign God, saying, do this, not that. Please don't do this. God is sovereign all along. Now, you and I'm going to close this sermon out here. You and I, the Scripture tells us, let's look at Colossians 2:10. The Scripture tells us that we are complete in Him, right there. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, principality and power is talking about the spiritual realm that's right there. And it says He's the head of all of that, and we are, not only are we in Him, but we are complete in Him. Gives you so much more confidence, doesn't it? To be able to go and say, hey, I'm with Him. And I've got everything that He's got. He has given it to me. I am complete in Him. I don't have to worry, am I going to be snatched up by the boogeyman or the devil and the demons? I am complete in Him. How do we become complete in Him? You know, there's good news in the Scripture that tells us it's by grace, through faith, not of yourselves, that we can come. He's offering a gift to anyone, anywhere, anytime, based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can come and say, yeah, I believe. I believe who the Lord is, what He's done, what He's offering. I believe. And that belief is what makes you a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you are complete in Him. Complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So I think when it comes to these scary little pictures that come up over here, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I might be out at night and be scared of this and scared of that, and what in the world is going to happen? I think that when we can develop in our mind, hey, we're complete in Him, and He's given us dominion over the earth. The demons don't have dominions over the earth. The angels don't have dominion over the earth. You and I have dominion over the earth. And if there's a problem in this world, you and I can fix it. And if something's fixed in this world, you and I can break it, right? It's us. And there is a liberation that comes from that, of not having to make yourself subservient to those whom you are going to judge, use the passage in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that we will judge the angels? We come to a completely different view of angels and demons, who they were, what they are, so much more, obviously, that we could discuss, go back through the weekend and check all those things out there. And we'll be done with that. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and I'll give a few announcements. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your watch care over us, for the blessings that are ours, for the protection that we have in Christ, for the fact that we are complete in Christ. Demons and angels, they're exotic things. They're things that come in strength and power, both good and bad, and we look at them and are we can become a bundle of nerves and bundle of fear over it, or even receive some comfort that's not actually there. And we pray that taking a good view of demons, angels, where they came from, what they've been doing, what they are doing, what they will be doing in the future, gives us a strength to walk our own Christian life and to do it in the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the summary is, it's good to know that we walk in a victory in Jesus Christ, not on the leash of the demons or on the leash of the angels, right? We're carrying life out on our own. And what we're going to do as we do that is go have lunch here in just a minute. I do remind you, we're not having any programming this Wednesday night. We'll be back next Sunday morning. We'd love to see you. And lunch, we'll be in the fellowship hall. It'll take us a few minutes to get everything laid out. It is a little bit crowded in there, and so we're going to ask that the line goes in the hallway, not in the fellowship hall. The food will be laid out a little bit differently than it has in the past, but I think you'll figure out the flow. And there's a lot of food. Normally, at America's Greatest Tiny Church, we have real plates and cups, finery, fine melanin. But today, you get to throw away your plate and your cup. It'll be a little more casual in there, picnic style, and you'll enjoy it. We would love to have all of you join us. Thanks for being a part of this today and of the weekend as well. God bless you, those online as well. And we will see you all soon. You're dismissed to lunch.